When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ramble.
Do you guys ever think about dying?
Hey.
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures.
And the Oscar goes to.
Oh, that's a good way to open it.
You can have
it. That would have been way better.
Go.
And the Oscar goes to.
There it
is. Hey, this is our Oscars episode. We're talking about Barbie. We're talking about Oppenheimer. We're talking about all the big Oscar movies that we missed this year.
Yep.
Garrick. Got a flat tire. He's gone.
It's a big day for Garrick Bernard, our friend. I literally almost cried. I almost shed a tear thinking about it. Garrick and I connected over Rick and Morty. It was the first animated show I had like ever watched, and he actually got me into it, and that's how he became friends at BuzzFeed. And this week he's writing his episode for Rick and Morty, and I'm like, oh my God, imagine being able to write
it's
for your
nuts.
Favorite show ever.
It's something that when we ask him about it, I can tell that he tries to not even think about it because it's too much,
he can't handle. He would just combust simultaneously, and I'm just so proud of him. And so he's doing table reads today for it, so he's busy.
Because
he let's be real, he could be nominated for an Oscar for Before One of Us.
Wow, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. We're silent sleepers.
Best supporting actor, Zachary Kornfeld.
Best director, documentary, international feature.
And joining us in the studio, we have Mr. Jonathan.
Whoa. Hey, what's up?
Why did I call you Mr. Jonathan?
I don't know why you said that.
Yeah. But I did.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Are you a cinephile?
Sure.
You have a Letterboxd account?
I don't have a Letterboxd
account. That's actually surprising.
Wow.
It's because I'm just a Luddite. I'm just like, oh, a new app? No, thank you.
I get it.
It's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah. Every, I'd say, 3 or 4 months, I remember that I have a Letterboxd. I go in, I fill in 3 movies, and then I stop and I forget about it.
Yeah.
Do you write reviews?
Well, that's the other thing. Is like, if I write a review, is it supposed to be funny?
I heard it's supposed to be like funny, but I don't have time for that.
Yeah,
I'm very straight up. Same with my Goodreads. Do you have Goodreads?
I don't know.
Yeah, no. Because then it puts an expectation on myself to like have to write something. Like I was like on Instagram for books. I did like 3 books in a row where I wrote a little something. And then I was like, well, now the whole time I'm reading, I'm like, what am I going to say about it?
Oh, you're not enjoying it.
So that's why
I'm a reader, not a writer.
Yeah, exactly.
Barbie came out.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you guys heard about this movie, Barbie.
Small movie.
It was
micro budget.
Something of a hit. It came out during the strike, so we never got a chance to talk about it.
Didn't.
And so we're kind of making this our yearly tradition to make an Oscars episode where we talk about some of the big movies we missed this year.
Yeah.
Last year we did an Everything Everywhere All at Once episode. And then we're also going to really just talk through everything that is nominated this year. We're going to do our darndest.
Our predictions.
Do a little predictions, talk through the big categories.
You tried.
But let's start with Barbie.
Barbie!
Which came and like a hurricane into our lives. Of course, Barbenheimer was the moment.
Yeah.
It was her. It was it.
It almost felt like because it was during the strike that it was during COVID. Like it
feels
like
a lost time.
Also, you're
like
drinking my out of my mug.
Yeah,
I feel so special.
Yeah, this is Kelsey's Coffee Gives Me Anxiety mug, and I accidentally brought it to the office, and then people really like it, and I have to fight over it.
Isn't it cute? Yeah, Jonathan, say it's cute.
It's so cute.
Oh my God,
I've been wondering where that came from for a long time.
My brain.
Any mug that you're like, what's that doing here? It's because I brought it to the office and didn't bring it home that day.
Is that where the Jesus mug came from?
I bought that for us.
Special. Barbie was such a moment. Dare I say it continues to be a moment. Like, I feel like it's just now fizzling out a little bit with the fucking marketing and the pink and the filters and the branding. But, like, in a way, I'm kind of thrilled that it's back, not only as an aesthetic, but like a message to point to, which, I mean, since we're talking about the Oscars, we got to just, let's get it out of the way. Let's address it. The drama of Greta and Margot not being nominated as actor and director. I know you have opinions.
I'm so annoyed that you're starting here. I'm so annoyed that you're starting here. Well, I want to say first is that I love this movie. Uh-huh. And I feel like maybe just like the bubble that I live in on my internet, like it almost seemed like it became uncool to like Barbie at one point because it was such a mega hit. Mm. And like, I'm going to say something controversial here. Barbie rocks.
Yeah.
This movie's a fucking blast.
Yeah.
It's weird. Uh-huh. It is weird for a blockbuster. Uh-huh. It is funny. It structurally, like, it has so many characters, yet somehow they all work. The performances are excellent. The design is excellent. Greta Gerwig is one of our greatest living creators. Yeah. I'm obsessed with her. But now you want to talk about the controversy?
Dog.
I find it so annoying.
Because here's the thing. I was at first like, who cares? Like, it got nominated for the big thing. But as I've thought about it more, I'm like, you really don't have Barbie without Ken, or you don't have Ken without Barbie. Ryan Gosling is nominated. He's like
you're insane.
Second
this is such
favorite.
A bad take.
And then this is you such don't a bad have take. The biggest global hit of a movie without the fucking director.
Ugh,
tell me.
This movie was nominated for 8 Oscars.
Yeah, that's not 13.
In what world is that not enough? 8 is so
but
many.
It's not for things that matter. It's
yes,
like
it is.
It's like
it's nominated for Best Picture.
Okay, that one matters.
That one matters. That is a triumph. We
that
should all be
matters.
Here's what drives me crazy. We should all be jumping off like up and down for joy. This is a triumph. This movie is a commercial and critical hit. It was well received across the board. I think it's the highest grossing movie of the year.
And you just gave all the reasons
phenomenal.
Why it should have the accolades that it should.
No, the fact that this movie is also so good is a triumph. But let's now break down the awards that it was nominated for. There, you know, look, there are 5 best director slots, okay? Uh-huh. I don't think that Barbie, I think it was very well directed, but I don't think it was the best directed movie of the year, and that is not the triumph of the film. Also, Margot Robbie is very good in the movie, but that is not the triumph of the film. Her performance is not the best. There are 2 people who were nominated from it, America Ferrera and Ryan Gosling, both of whom gave better performances than her, and that's okay. And also, it's not Margot Robbie versus Ryan Gosling. It's Margot Robbie versus the 5 other tremendous actresses who were nominated, and people were complaining as if Margot Robbie like was robbed by Ryan Gosling, and that's just not how
no,
it works. Different category.
I don't think people. I mean, the connection they're making is that Barbie was a movie about men that get awards and women never get anything, and it's like that's what people are arguing. And they're not saying he stole her thunder. It's just saying the irony. But I have to disagree with you on like the acting not being stellar because I thought that acting was really good, and there are people I think in the best actress category that I would replace with that I thought was not only a better actor, but a better movie in general, which again, I think goes back to, you can't say all of those things that you've said and not include the direction of exactly why you said it was weird. It was original. It was funky. It was like the reason why this was a success. This could have been so bad. Everyone was expecting it to be really bad. Like the star power it hit, like that was because of Greta.
Sure, but both of those people were nominated as producers in Best Picture. That is what recognizes that.
Yeah, but you say, like, that's a lot. And it's like, yeah, but look at Oppenheimer. That's 13.
Which is a better movie.
Sure.
It is. It's a better main movie. And it's
I thought it was half hour too long.
It's
but,
a better
you know?
Directed movie.
No, but you know what it is? It's like you
Why
you
are we
want,
starting here? I'm
you
so
want,
mad at you.
No, we need it. We had to get it off the table because people want to hear it.
People are
going to
be pissed
opinion.
At me, but I just like.
No, they're not going to be pissed at you. I think a lot of people are going to unfortunately agree with you. And at first I did too because I was like, yeah, it's fucking Barbie. Who cares? But then when I watched it again and I thought about how bad it could have been and how great it was and why was it great. I think of Greta. I think of her brain. I think of it being her brainchild.
She wrote a really good script, and she produced the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Both of which she was nominated for.
Sure. I just think it's funny that the other men in that category whose movies were just as funky and fun and great actors who maybe weren't needed their direction that would have been great with another director in its place got nominated.
Well,
that's all
actually, I'm glad you said that, because what I find so ironic and insane about this whole scenario is that people were like, the female director of this movie wasn't nominated, therefore proving Barbie correct. But in this, no one celebrated that Justine Triet was nominated. There is an incredible female director nominated. Yeah. People were freaking out, and I'm like, why are we not celebrating Justine? She killed it.
That's because no one saw Anatomy of a Fall.
Well, but again, see, I think most of the people...
What is the point of the Oscars, right? Is it like to celebrate art and like our tours, or is it to celebrate like successful movies?
No,
like,
that's what the box office is for.
Yeah, agreed. But you'd have to admit there's been shit where you're like, how the fuck did that get nominated? But that's it's because
that's
a fan favorite,
which I've Annette Bening's movie that I've never even heard of. But like,
I see the posters everywhere, and I keep thinking it's a marathon documentary.
Yeah, who even knows? We won't talk about it other than that one mention that I gave. It is a great, like, I hate that I'm sitting here and I'm like, this is me being forced to be the anti-Barbie. That is not me saying it's not incredible. I just don't think it was the best directed movie of the year, and that's okay. That's okay.
I think Greta should have been included in director. I could do it with or without Margot, but
there are scenes in that movie that are literally car commercial.
Yeah.
There are scenes in that movie that are fine. It's not like, it's okay. She's so talented. Mm-hmm. She's amazing.
She's going to do great.
She's gonna be fine.
She's gonna win an Oscar. And Margot, I have no doubt.
By the way, Margot Robbie wasn't even her best performance of the year.
That's the truth.
That goes to Asteroid City, in which she has one scene, and she is better in that one scene than she is in the entirety of
Barbie. And I'm
not
worried about her either. She's gonna be fine. She's gonna win an Oscar.
It feels like artificial outrage, where it is websites like BuzzFeed that use many AI plugins to just kind of come up with like what is the clickiest fucking anger that we can rile up to get clicks and shares. Like people didn't even look at the Oscar ballot. They didn't watch all these movies. They didn't even know. I bet you many people who were outraged at first didn't realize that 8 is a fuck ton of nominations. Yeah. I will go through so many movies of years past that did not get 8 this is a triumph.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Look it for the headline.
Why?
And the headline is Greta Gerwig did not get a nomination.
If we're going to put our whole pussy into Barbie, we should have put our whole pussy into it, is what I think people feel.
But her performance isn't Oscar worthy.
I mean, I don't think everyone here is Oscar. Like, let's move. Can we talk about some Oscar stuff while we talk about this? Or do we have to stay on
Barbie? Who do you want to take out of the best actress? Because I actually
I want to take out Robert Downey Jr. for best supporting.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, thank you, Jonathan.
Everyone
he is the perspective. Okay, so we're moving on. Thank God. He is who, like, the odds on favorite, probably the most likely lock of the night to be best supporting
it's
actor.
It's going to him.
Yeah.
But I wish it wasn't.
Yeah. Like, I'm putting all my money on Oppenheimer this year for most of the awards. I don't think it should win most of those awards, and especially Robert Downey Jr. Like, I thought it was a fine performance. Yeah. It served the story, sure.
I think
like,
he was acting like himself.
Yeah,
I don't think there was anything unique about his role.
You know who I think should win?
Oh.
Who?
Ryan Gosling.
Why?
Because I thought he was the best part
you
of that movie.
You fucking saw Poor Things with us.
You wanted to go to Mark Ruffalo.
I want Mark Ruffalo to get that fucking weirdo little character he got his hands on and made it his own. I loved Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. I thought he was an absolute shit show.
He's having
maniac
fun.
Yeah. Cuckoo head.
I think you and I are in agreement that Poor Things is probably our favorite movie
of the year. Not like top three for me. And I also read the book after, and now that I know like the adapted version, I do also hope that it wins adapted, even though it won't.
Poor Things is like, it's basically what if Barbie were for fucked up horny adults.
Yes. Like disfigured acid trip.
Yeah. It's the My Chemical Romance version of Barbie.
It's plus the best costume and hair, which I hope it wins. Being up against Barbie is tough for Poor Things because you're right. Like it is the rated R version of Barbie in some ways. But I hope, because those outfits... I literally leaned over like 6 times during the movie and I went, my Halloween costume. I call it my Halloween costume. Like, I hope they win for all of that. Like, even cinematography, I know.
I want Poor Things to win every technical award.
I know, but like, Oppenheimer's going to win cinematography. Yeah. And I'm like, why?
Because they recreated the atomic bomb.
Sure.
It was underwhelming.
Like, what's more memorable to me? I'm not remembering that desert. I'm remembering Poor Things.
Yeah, while we're on the topic of costumes and Poor Things. it is the only movie that has made me gasp at a man's outfit. Like, men dress boring, but there's a shot of Gerard Carmichael sitting on a boat, and he has this, like, it's not tweed, but it's like a yellow suit, and he's wearing sunglasses, purple sky behind him, and I, like, grabbed Garrick's thigh.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the best... This is the coolest that a man has ever looked.
On screen, in general. It
shook me to my core.
I also love that Gerard Carmichael was in that movie, even though we all agreed that it was so out of place and kind of weird. My least favorite part, I still am here for it.
Yeah, I thought he was really bad.
He's not good. Oh, he's the absolute weakest actor of the film.
But it was still funny.
Hey, Gerard Carmichael's here. That's cool. Everyone else is like, damn, like Bella is such an interesting character. Ruffalo's character is so fucking pathetic and weird.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is doing characters.
Right.
And then Gerard's like, hey guys.
And in the book, his character that he's playing is a weird, funky, religious guy. Like, it's very, he is a character in the book. But so for him to go that route.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Other things, I mean, to talk about. Do you want to talk about Barbie a little more? Or do you wanna...
I hope America Ferrera wins, because I thought that was really fucking good, but I know Divine Joy Randolph will win for Holdovers, and I thought she was fucking, like, that's just, that the Holdovers cast winning will fuel the warmth around my heart, but Barbie winners scorches my pussy. You know what I mean? Like, I will be so happy when Divine Joy Randolph wins. I want America Ferrera to win.
Let's go. Why don't we go movie by movie, and then we'll circle back to some of the categories.
Yeah.
It's interesting thinking about Barbie that, like, America is nominated for Greta's script, right?
And, like, what a triumph for her career.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
she's like Ugly Betty, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Oscars.
Went away for a decade. Oscar worthy. And it really is just on the success of what is the best monologue of the year, maybe the decade, the women speech.
Yeah.
It's the most Greta Gerwig speech too. And honestly, America Ferrera, like, is just playing Greta Gerwig in that scene. I can hear, like, even her cadence of speech. This is, I just love women.
Like, it that alone, like you said, will be remembered for that speech will be played at the Oscars in those little clips. Of,
oh my,
like,
God, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you'll do that as a montage.
Yes,
like
quotable. And, like, I would just love to see her win it. But also, because there's so many first time nominees, this is, like, one of the most first time nominee Oscar roster in a long time. And so this is how I always feel is, like, when you're going for something like an Oscar, when you're nominated for something like an Oscar, there is a seniority aspect to it, right? Like, look at what happened with Leo. Like, look at, you know, even Robert De Niro. Like, all these people have put in their fucking years and their time. And that's why people who are, like, so gung-ho about Lily Gladstone or, like, Divine Joy Randolph, like, I think they are going to get there. I sometimes am like, let the veterans have their moment. Like, let the people who put in.
Well, they're veterans. They're just veterans in different ways. They haven't seen the success yet. Both of them have been working.
Sure.
And grinding.
But now that they're here, they're at that A level. I think, like, sometimes we give it to the, like, most exciting rather than, like, the best.
Mm, that's interesting. I sometimes think about, like, whose life is going to be impacted by the Oscar the most. And I think it was Viola Davis had a quote, and I'm absolutely paraphrasing and butchering, but it was like, the Oscar doesn't matter unless it leads to work.
Ooh.
And that is that's so real
because
there are people who have come out of nowhere and been nominated or won awards, and then they
don't do anything.
They don't work again. And that, Frank, let's be real, it happens to actors, people of color,
yeah.
right? Like, they get this one breakout role, and then they're just not... Fucking Lupita Nyong'o has been in, like, five movies.
Yeah. Mm.
She, like, barely is getting work for someone who is the most talented actress of our generation.
Yeah.
Question mark, but not a question.
But that's, like, the same thing, where it's, like, you want... you. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of when I think of, like, getting the Oscar as a newbie, is, like, I actually just want to see them work more before I say, here's the Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, ultimately, we're going to be talking about awards today, and none of this matters. The awards don't fucking matter. It's all just, like, popularity contest and politics and who, and it's fun.
Yeah.
But I still, like, it's the one thing that I can't
let go of yet.
I can't let go of, and I know that there's movie lovers and there's Oscar lovers, and they're not always the same thing. Like, sometimes we just love the pageantry of the show.
We want the red carpet. We want the sound bites. We want the memes.
All right, we'll finish up on Barbie, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
I think part of what made people love that movie so much too was just a return to tactile filmmaking. Even though there actually was a lot that was green screened and they pretended that it wasn't, there are many behind the scenes videos where they actually, in the BTS, keyed out green screen so that, like, everyone thinks that everything was practical.
Really?
It's just not how filmmaking works. There's so much more green screen than we think, even when it is practical effects.
Yeah.
Like, VFX is not the enemy.
Right.
But there was still this tactile feel, the sets, the goofy transition between Barbie world and the real world. And it felt playful and fun in a way that movies are afraid to be.
Oh, yeah. Because you look at that and it could have cheapened it. Like, it had to be done right. It had to have the songs that it had. It had to have the forward momentum. And, oh, God, what's that thing that every frame a scene or every scene a frame? You know exactly
every
what I'm talking about.
Painting.
Yes.
The greatest YouTube channel of all time. I literally mentioned it in our last episode.
Was that the
retired.
Is that what I'm thinking about? No. Who's the guy that did Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah, every frame painting.
Okay, that is it. That was what I was getting with that, was I was like, they are using the most cartoony version of, like, tapping into Barbie nostalgia, but it's still making filmmakers be, like, giddy and excited. Like, what are they doing?
I wanted to remind everyone that Barbie began with a riff on Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Go on.
That's insane.
Yeah.
The opening of this is a shot-for-shot remake of the most, like, film school movie of all time that is so dense and confusing. That is weird. It took swings. It also, I think, is such an antidote coming out of what was the super serious era of film and film adaptation. All of our IP, ironically, because of Christopher Nolan's impact, had to be gritty and real, and we're gonna do this. Like, what if Barbie really was in the real world? She'd be fucked up, and she would have all these problems. And this was like, no, actually, the way that Barbie made me feel as a kid was fun, and that I could do anything. And and the movie reflects that.
Yeah,
I'm picturing Zack Snyder's Barbie now.
God,
I find it interesting. You know, look, to me, I know that Barbie is a feminist film and is a movie about womanhood, but to me it actually was a lot more about little boys and girls and the expectations that we put on children and how that affects them. So I think it's not a surprise to me that Ken was such a standout. Ryan Gosling, I think, gives a killer performance in a just world. I actually would really like to see. We don't give Oscars to comedic performances, and he is so committed.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think he gets all this acclaim is because the story funnels the Ken story through one point, whereas the Barbie story is really dispersed.
Broad, yeah.
It is all of the Barbies,
but
then also America Ferrera is basically half of Margot Robbie's character. You have her daughter and the relationship with the daughter. So you're seeing a multitude of women. And really what the movie, I think, posits is that women, you know, young girls have a myriad of potential. They can be anyone or anything, and they believe, and they're not afraid. And you think about playing with a Barbie and how you can be a doctor or a surfer or an astronaut or the president or what, like, you could be anything. And then you get into the real world, you grow up, you become shameful, and you are beat down and told that you need to make yourself smaller to please other people. then it posits the opposite for little boys, that little boys are scared and they're dependent on their moms and that they're wounded and fragile. And then as they grow up, they're told to suppress that fragility because they have to be tough and they have to be the man. And the patriarchy then allows them to believe in themselves when they shouldn't.
Yeah.
And the movie presents an antidote to both of those myths and says, like, no, men, you don't do that.
Yeah.
And women, believe and let's break down these structures.
Right.
It's a good fucking movie.
Yeah, I have very, I don't have any notes for it. I saw it and like went to be like, okay, let me try and like be critical or just at least be aware of like notes and try to be critical of it. And I just totally, it was just so surprising. And every time I watch it, I find something new about it that I'm like, oh, I could be, I will be watching this showing my like nieces and nephews. You know what I mean? Like I'll remember, I got to live through the resurgence of like the revival of Barbie.
And it was a moment.
It was a fucking, I hope they make it into a musical.
Oh, so, okay. There's actually a really cool, I can't recall if it's IndieWire, but there's a podcast episode about the musical creation of Barbie. Because Mark Ronson, who's an incredible music producer responsible for so many of our modern hits, produced the album, and they did the score in a really different way where he worked with different pop stars on songs in the movie. Like he worked with
Dua Lipa,
the Billie Eilish story is crazy. I'll tell you that in a second, but Lizzo, et cetera. And then they took themes from the song and built them out into the score. So like you hear like the Dance the Night Away, you hear like a marching band version of it for Will Ferrell and co. And it just like, and they went through, I think, like three full page one rewrites of Dance the Night Away. They just like got together with Dua Lipa and they were like, yeah, this sucks, right? Like it's just not good enough.
Wow.
And then with the Billie Eilish song, they showed her an early screening of the movie.
Yes.
Do you want to tell the story?
No, you go.
They showed Billie a screening, her and Phineas, and then like they, you know, Greta took the meeting. She was like, that's so cool. I got to meet Billie Eilish. How fun. Probably nothing will come out of it. Next day, Billie sends a voice note from her, like me calling her Billie, like we're like, yeah, like first name basis. Miss Eilish.
Mrs. Eilish.
Billie sends a voice note from her iPhone sitting at a piano, just like singing the melody of What Was I Made For? Mm-hmm. And like the first thing out of her mouth is, I used to float, now I just stumble. Mm-hmm. And Greta had full body chills of, how did you watch my movie once and encapsulate all these themes?
I heard she didn't even see the full movie. I heard that they sent her a clip. And the only clip they sent her was when she's in the white with original, well, not original Barbie, the woman who's playing original Barbie.
Eve Ensler. Well, there's the character. Yeah. Or is the woman who created
her. When she's sitting in the white and like questioning her existence. That's all she saw. She sent her that the next day. And she was like, wait, how did you know that this is what the whole fucking movie is about? Based off of that one scene.
Billie Eilish is so... I think that if she does not win the Oscar, that's one of those where like, if I'm just Ken wins, hilarious number.
Yeah.
Really fun. But like, What Was I Made For is
like hurtful,
chilling.
Yeah.
it's
like a dagger.
Sometimes like every year it's like the best original song category is like, okay, it's like, what's the like best song that
best
was in a movie,
showman.
but this was actually a song that that reflected and impacted and changed the film, and then the themes from that song were woven into the score, and it's fucking dope.
Yeah, they did great.
Anything else to talk about with Barbie?
I just want to say that if a studio can shut the fuck up enough to let Barbie happen, we should make studios shut the fuck up more. Because I just keep going back to like how many people touched it, how bad it could have been, like how tightly that shit must have been run to make it as good as it was. And then we have things like Morbius and Madame Web, and it's like studios just get away, go
just
away,
get out of the way, just let really talented people
fuck.
Sure,
yeah, just let them fuck. You know.
It's if you had gone back in time and told me that Noah Baumbach would be partially responsible.
You know he was writing that Ken bit like, ooh, like it was Marriage Story.
Insane.
And Greta had to be like, okay, I see your intent. We're going to change it to be pop, but like same messaging. Same toxic masculinity takeover.
Christopher Nolan is going to win a lot of awards.
He's going to bomb in the box office, but not in the way we thought. You guys, let me host. Jimmy Kimmel who?
Oppenheimer's a really good movie. What? Oh, what, you contrarian, what?
I think it was 45 minutes too long. I think Robert Downey Jr. coming out of this like some fucking god on water is a blasphemous. I think the best thing that came out of this was Cillian Murphy and the fucking sound design, and it won't even win for that because, what's the other one? The Zone of Interest is going to win for sound, maybe. But I think the coolest things to come out of that are not anything like, I'm going to say it, we're blowing it too much out of proportion, no pun intended. I know you fucking, you're jerking off to Christopher Nolan. I know you love this film. I think
it's great.
I think adults and film school bros loved this. Yeah. I think we like are forgetting about 52% of the population that like truly didn't give a fuck.
Okay, well, it did make a lot of money.
It did.
I definitely think that this is partially narrative. Like, this is, it feels like Christopher Nolan's time. He is playing the plant.
I'm being attacked by a plant. Get away.
Okay. A plastic plant.
God.
No, I mean, like, he's gone on this PR campaign where we all assumed for years that Christopher Nolan was this pretentious, stuck-up prick, and he actually seems to be the coolest, chillest, most down-to-earth dude imaginable who just loves movies. He also, people, like, ask him, like, why do you keep shooting on IMAX? And he's like, because no one else can. And it's, if I can, then it's my responsibility to continue to try and make the biggest movies possible with the biggest tools possible. And
the
like
action guy.
What he achieved is a triumph. Mm-hmm. He made a 3.5 hour biopic that feels vibrant and
feels global. It feels like
big,
worldly.
Yeah. It's exciting. It made a ton of money. It is an absolute anomaly, and I think that he is going to win. One, because of, you know, the narrative fits his time. He made a great movie, but he made a great movie that mattered to a lot of people. Mm. And that's not something the Oscars get to celebrate a lot.
Yeah.
I think that this is the best edited movie of the year.
Huh. Say more.
Who edited it? It's someone that I can't remember.
LeMay?
Jennifer LeMay. It's spelled lame, but I can't believe that.
I'm assuming it. I'm like, it's gotta be
LeMay. It's gotta be LeMay.
She's French. Jennifer LeMay.
Jennifer LeMay. I think this movie, the editing is a revelation. There's a lot of really good editing this year. Schoonmaker, who edited Killers of the Flower Moon, also tremendous. But the movie has it's so big. Mm-hmm. And I think that the pacing is electric. Mm. In a way that is really impossible. To take something that is so stuffy and dry, or that it could be, to make me feel like I understand the way that she creates rhythms, it just kind of floored me.
I think it got... I felt all of that until the third act, which is funny because it's like where the stuff is happening. But like, I could have done without a lot of... dare I say, I think it could have been more successful, even though it was the most successful film of the year. I think it could have been more successful had it not had that extra layer to it, which I agree. I liked that it made a personal story massive and big, but I almost kind of wanted less of the drama.
I mean, I agree. I've only seen it the one time in theaters, but I was definitely least interested in the political hearings of Oppenheimer. Like, I didn't care about Robert Downey Jr.'s character as much. I wanted to see the process of building the bomb and the process of this guy.
I want to see it go boom.
I want to see it go boom. And I want to see this guy, like, dealing with the trauma of it. But then I remember talking to you and Garrick about this right after the movie, because it's like, okay, this is the part that didn't work as well for me, but clearly... the movie focused on this. So like, so why? Mm-hmm. What am I missing? And what is the theme that that I am supposed to be extracting from this? And it a lot, I was so smart about this right after I came out about the movie. Let's see if I can bring this back.
Muster up the same juju.
The film itself presents the theory of relativity. We revisit scenes over and over and over again, and depending on the context in which they are delivered, we have a different interpretation of that scene. Oppenheimer as a character refuses to except one thing. He believes that he can have it all. You know, his famous line throughout the film that they keep repeating is, I'll consider it. I'm considering it. Mm-hmm. I was like, why the fuck am we watching him dabble with communism? Mm-hmm. And it's because he wants to not commit to a worldview.
He wants to be
maybe a little bit of communism, a little bit of democracy, mm-hmm. a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He believes that he can make a bomb, but not be responsible for all of the deaths in Hiroshima mm-hmm. and Nagasaki. He believes that he can make a death machine, but that it can be a vehicle for peace. Mm-hmm. He believes that he can have it all. Mm-hmm. Einstein says no. And it's not until the final moments of the movie mm-hmm. where we revisit this scene between him and Einstein, where finally Einstein's worldview wins out. Mm. And it is that what is real and true is absolute. Mm-hmm. You built the bomb. Mm-hmm. And that's on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what his final line is, I think we destroyed the world.
Yeah.
Is essentially where this character ends. And for the first time in the film, in the final moment of the movie, we see Oppenheimer accept an absolute that it was all his fucking fault.
Oof. Preach, sis. That was a great review.
I don't remember what that has to do with the trial. I guess the trial is really just putting that all like on center stage, right?
Yeah.
We are doing a trial for the legacy of this man. Mm-hmm. Can we separate the death and destruction from the scientific progress?
Yeah.
Can we, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Have you heard the theory that Oppenheimer is kind of Christopher Nolan's attempt to justify his own involvement with superhero films?
That's so funny.
That essentially, like, he, with The Dark Knight, proved that, like, oh, you can make $1 billion making these kind of movies. And then it probably, in his mind, destroyed the thing that he loved, which is cinema.
Film.
And so
that's
he's like,
awesome.
I am the Oppenheimer of
movies.
That's probably why he connected with it
so
deeply.
Well, it's crazy. So I saw Tenet earlier this week because it got re-released in theaters. I didn't see it when it came out because of COVID. He mentions Oppenheimer, like someone mentions Oppenheimer in the script.
And you're just like,
he's been thinking about this guy for a long time.
Well, apparently Robert Pattinson gave him
the book.
A biography.
Yeah.
Are we stuck?
We talked about that, where it was like Robert Pattinson was like, you need to read this. You're going to love it. You're going to identify with it.
Yeah.
And then he read it and was like, wow. Cillian Murphy, I'm going to give the lead to. And Robert Pattinson was like, no, bitch, I fucking gave it to you because I'm supposed to be Oppenheimer, the fuck? And like, did they do Batman? What did they do together?
He was in Batman. He's been in everything.
Yeah. And so I just think that's really funny because it's like, whoopsies.
gave away
my part to Cillian Murphy, which brings us to, do you believe he will win lead role? He has to, right?
I didn't, and it seems, I can't separate Narrative Street from what I want, and it's really hard. Like, yeah, I think he gives a fucking incredible performance. Do I want him to win? No, I want Paul Giamatti to win. I want my Riz King to get up there and give the most charming fucking speech of all time. Also, I genuinely don't think Cillian Murphy cares about any of this shit.
I don't think so either, and also this is the first time he's been nominated. So, I go back to my theory of, like, let the others get their fucking flowers. And Giamatti hasn't had one since, or he was nominated, right?
Nominated for Sideways and American Splendor.
Yeah.
He wasn't nominated for Sideways.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't.
Okay,
no.
Just American
He was
Splendor,
America, and I'll have to fact check this because I'm editing it. he was nominated for Cinderella Man.
Yes, that is correct.
Best supporting. So he's never been nominated for best
actor.
Yeah.
And like
role.
Bradley Cooper, this is his like fourth one, has never
Bradley.
Won. And
oh,
his
Bradley.
Like.
Bradley? By the way, poor Bradley, that like he made. I refuse to see Maestro. It doesn't seem like a real movie.
I fucking tried because I love, what's her name? Carrie Mulligan. And I love.
Oh, yeah.
Like I wanted to fucking love this. He seemed like such a crazy, eccentric, like, and this is Bradley's passion project.
He wants
by the
it
way.
So bad.
Yeah. He's cried every time he's talked about the man in public. I cannot. The jerking off of thyself.
Really?
I cannot. I was just like, oh wow, he's at that level where he can do whatever he wants. And if he got to do whatever he wanted, this is what he wanted to do. Go off, King, I guess.
Yeah, he made himself so loathsome on this circuit. Like it just was like, no matter what, we cannot give this man
he
an Oscar.
Anne Hathaway'd himself.
He did.
We were like, guys, no, we were rooting for you. Like, we all thought you were fucking dope.
He Anne Hathaway'd himself. Someone who like genuinely seems to love the craft
yes.
and wants to work, but just seems like they want it a little too much.
He redeemed himself by dating a Hadid or something in the end, like recently. Did you see Coleman Domingo's Rustin?
No, I haven't.
I didn't either, and I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah.
It's not nominated for anything else.
No, but he's dope. He's a great actor.
He's going to win a bunch of stuff. American Fiction I unfortunately have not seen, but I'm so excited for Jeffrey Wright.
It's really fucking
really
awesome.
Good. Yeah.
It was written and directed by Cord Jefferson, who is an awesome writer. He wrote the episode of Watchmen that is the flashback episode about Hooded Justice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which, yeah, I mean, he is unbelievable. American Fiction fucking rocks. I love this movie. It is so fun. It feels like a best screenplay winner where, like, for whatever
it's
reason...
adapted.
Yeah, the best screenplay every year feels like the one place where they're like, here's a really cool movie we liked.
Yeah.
We're not going to give it to, like, the Oscar movie. We're going to give it to, like... But, like, that's the fucking...
That's
the best thing. American Fiction is fantastic. It is a really interesting look at how we tell black stories in media and how we relegate black characters to only being about their pain as opposed to, like...
Literally anything else.
Yeah, literally anything else. And so, like, the multifaceted nature of... I'm making it sound very serious. It's very funny. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Wright... is an author
He's
who
amazing.
Is not getting work, and so he decides, as like a fuck you to publishers, he writes the most like stereotypically ghetto character that he can imagine, and of course it blows up.
Booms, yeah.
But then simultaneously, the movie is about his life and his family and his mother who's dealing with dementia and his brother Sterling K. Brown who is. Such a fucking good actor. Yeah. I thought he should have been nominated for Waves a couple years ago. I don't know if anyone saw that movie. Loved it. It's just a really lovely film. And so funny.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites of the year. I think you'll really like it.
I'm going to watch it within the next 2 weeks. But yeah. I want to talk about... Can we talk about Best Picture?
Okay.
Because we know it's going to go to Oppenheimer, right?
I think it will. Yeah.
But I let's talk about this list, right? Like American Fiction, comedy... Right.
Yeah. This is, by the way, a great year for movies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good movies here.
Anatomy of a Fault, female director,
is excellent. I imagine most people didn't watch it. It is like a courtroom drama that managed to be interesting and cool. Sandra Hüller, like maybe gives the best performance of the year. She's unreal.
It's just been like kind of under the radar for a lot.
Well,
of
it's a
shit.
Smaller movie.
Yeah.
It won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. but it's a murder story where like her husband maybe committed suicide, but there's some real fishy shit about it.
Like Staircase and the Anatomy of a Fall.
And the only witness is their blind son.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, I'm watching
really
that
good.
Tonight.
By the way, you actually want to talk about Best Supporting Actor? That fucking kid.
Really?
I was gonna say the dog.
The dog. Also has a steel drum cover of PIMP by 50 Cent.
Dog.
As like a main plot device.
Oh my God. I love it when they do that. Barbie, obviously amazing. Holdovers it's almost like these don't belong together.
Yeah.
And that's what frustrates me because I want them to have their own separate categories. Killers of the Flower Moon.
I really liked.
We haven't touched on it too much. I really liked everything about it except for the length.
Yeah, it's long.
And like one or two, like seeing Leonardo DiCaprio as that character just grossed me out.
He's
a gross
Robert De Niro. I loved
incredible.
It. Yeah, I mean Lily Gladstone is unbelievable, electric. I wish that the film were told more from her vantage.
Yeah.
Like I'm just more interested in her and her story than of the people that came in and destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a devastating film.
Mm-hmm.
It's also really cool. Like I didn't know about the Osage people and. They were, when the movie begins, the richest people per capita on the planet. So you're almost watching, it feels like this alternate reality.
You're like, this is not real.
But it's real.
And it's real.
Where it's this old West town and the Osage people are living in luxury. Mm-hmm. They are the
white
most
servants.
Wealthy people.
Like you're seeing something where you're like, this isn't.
And it gives you this like, oh my God, what could have been with this country?
Yeah.
And then you see these fucking white wolves and snakes come in and take everything from them in the most tragic way.
And she's really given like a good voice to like the American Indians and making it like they're being very proud.
Oh,
and like I feel like that's also they've needed more than one triumph of, you know, a film. And I feel like this gave them another stepping stone to just be like, make more Native American stuff.
Just imagine what her speech is going to be. It'll be so fucking good. You're going to sob. It's going to be amazing. I also just want to say real quick that Martin Scorsese, like late Scorsese, he's giving us some of the most interesting late era filmmaking of any filmmaker ever.
His daughter follows me on TikTok. I don't know.
By the way, Scorsese daughter, if you're out there, we'd love to collab.
Yeah.
And she follows me on Instagram.
Really?
She does.
That's huge.
She's got to follow you.
I DM'd her about a, she was like casting for a short film.
And Shut the fuck up.
And I was like, hey, I'll throw my hat in the ring.
100%.
And she goes, well, I already cast it, but maybe next time.
100%.
Oh my God. Francesca. You could totally get her.
Quick editor's note, right after we recorded this, I double checked and Francesca Scorsese no longer follows me, which is, you know, totally cool. Francesca, come on.
Francesca Scorsese's TikToks are a gift.
Yeah.
You've seen them?
Oh, are you kidding? They're amazing. It's like the behind the scenes. It's like you get to see Marty as a dad.
Mm.
You get to just see her being like, at this thing. And then it's like, Martin Scorsese's in the background. You're like, what the fuck?
Just such a fun, cool guy. And he's just going to like, he's just going to be there laughing.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to be having a great time.
Yeah.
Fucking eyebrows eyebrowing.
Have Maestro, which we're, I don't even know why it's in there. Give it, throw it all the way out. Oppenheimer will win. Past Lives, I'm going to say something unpopular. I'm going to say something real unpopular. I shouldn't because of it's women. Yay, women. But really, everyone fucking like set me up being like, this is going to fuck you up. This is going to shatter your heart. I had literally just gone through a breakup. So I was ready. I was like, fucking feed me daddy. I picked up my phone 5 or 6 times, guys.
No. I watched Past Lives the other night and I loved it. You loved it?
I haven't seen it yet for that reason, Kelsey.
Okay, like, I think you're going to be fine.
Okay. I'm like,
maybe it's because I'm a little hardened too. I know why you didn't like it. Why?
I thought about this because I watched it okay. So Past Lives is about, you know, two people who were childhood besties and like then they were in Korea. She goes to America. He lives his life. And it's this question of like, if things had gone differently, would we have fallen in love? Would we have gotten married? Would we have kids? And she's married. And like the movie's very open of like, she's like, yeah, I'm not going to leave my husband. Like she even talks to her husband about this. She's like, I'm not an idiot. Like it's very real, but there's still that feeling that I think we've all felt of like, there's this electricity between us that I can't explain and we can't be together and we're not supposed to be together, but maybe in a different life we could have, or maybe in the next life we will be.
Uh-huh.
And I think the reason that you don't like the film is because you've never not acted on that feeling.
Polyamory for the win! Open relationships. This would never happen to me. That's exactly what it was. I was like, just fuck him. Just fuck him. See if it's there. Your husband's like, honestly, kind of like, maybe you should fuck him to see if it's there. Like, everybody's rooting for you to just fuck it. Like, that, oh my God, it's this like tormented, like, experience. Dog, the sex could suck and this whole movie would never exist in it at all. You could be like, that was actually just a bunch of limerence.
There is a 2-minute shot that is basically just them in a wide, staring at each other, and like these micro movements of like, and like adjusting, and you're just like shaking, you're like, kiss, you fucking fucker, kiss.
I'd be like, why are we all three not fucking?
And Kelsey would have been like, and like, she would have already gone through it twice by then.
He'd be fucking me, I'd be fucking my husband would be fucking, we'd be a caterpillar situation. Like,
what you're saying is that monogamy is a myth.
Honestly, I still don't understand. If we could all get past the idea of jealousy, like, we'd all be such a better society. But anyway, so Poor Things
is the weirdest filmmaking imaginable.
I watch scenes from it just when I'm like bored. I'm like, let me just watch that dance scene one more time. Let me just watch her outfit, like slow motion montage set to like fan art. Like, it's just so, it's just a fucking buffet and I will never be full.
That's a great line.
Thanks.
I love that.
It's because I'm hungry.
Someone synced up her dance scene to Greenlight by Lord.
Oh, it's my perfect. God. And honestly, I could see a Lord song being in it, and it's I wouldn't bat a fucking eye. Mm.
Dude, it's so Lordcore.
It's Lordcore. It's still hardcore.
So the last one on here, I haven't seen because I've been waiting to see it in theaters because I know sound design is so important. Jonathan, you did see Zone of Interest.
Yeah, the Zone of Interest. It's a devastating film in how quiet and subtle it is. Because what it is you are following the family of the commandant of Auschwitz. And you never see behind the wall.
Oh, that would kill me.
You are in the house and you're following the commandant and his wife, and they have like four kids or something like that.
Commandant, I assume, is like
he's in charge. He's the CEO. He is
big boss.
And he's like not one of those like, oh, I was just following orders. I never really believed it. No, like this guy really, truly believed it. Based on the real man, too. Yeah. And like I was reading about this guy. I mean, this guy was like
the worst.
The absolute worst, and was helping to come up with the mechanics of how the Holocaust happened.
Christ.
And we're following, like the movie starts with him taking his family to the river for like a lovely summer afternoon.
Oh, God.
And the whole movie, and it's just, it's incredible the risk and the guts that the filmmakers took to tell the story this way, because what it's doing is just showing you this is how evil happens. And
the banality of it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's so banal. It's like the things that everyone's talking about is not that dissimilar to the things we're talking about in our daily lives of like, oh, wow, did you see so-and-so at the thing? They seemed kind of like, whatever. Oh, I really hope I get this promotion at work, you know? Mm. And it's the reason why I think it's going to win sound design, though, is that you are seeing this kind of idyllic country, you know, lifestyle of like gardening. They've got this beautiful garden and they've got this lovely house and they're eating all these delicious pastries and food. But the whole time in the background, you are hearing faintly in the distance what's happening on the other side of that wall.
Oh my God.
And it's chilling. And
that's what I think. That's when I think of sound design, that I'm like, without it, you wouldn't feel, and the movie wouldn't be what it is. Like the same way. What won last year's sound, the guy with the drums.
Oh, Sound of Metal.
Metal. Like that movie wouldn't be, I think you're right, wouldn't be nearly felt. Like that's what best sound design should be.
It used to be two separate categories, but no one understood what the fuck it meant. Because it was sound mixing and sound editing. Yeah.
Right.
Sound editing is the creation of sounds. Sound mixing is like the levels of the volume. But then no one knew what the fuck it was. So they just were like, one award.
Sound design.
I really want to see it. I've heard phenomenal things. I've heard like sleeper picks of like, if there's one that's going to sneak in as best picture.
Yeah.
Who knows? I also think what's really dope is that Jonathan Glazer and the whole team, they've won plenty of awards throughout this circuit. And they are telling, you know, this story of Jewish suffering, right?
Yep.
And in doing so, though, they are taking this opportunity to talk about Palestinian suffering right now. Mm. And I like that is not a given with these filmmakers.
Yeah.
And I think really fucking commendable.
Yeah.
And I hope they win. I hope they give a killer speech.
Awesome.
There's one more.
Especially to that fucking room.
Yeah.
To that room of fucking agents and all of these people. So I think that'll be a really exciting and interesting moment and an important one.
The one last thing I just want to say about the movie is that from a visual standpoint, the way it was shot is also really fascinating in that they essentially set up multiple cameras in the house.
I heard about
and then
this.
Walked away and just let the actors go in.
Oh,
and so there
weird.
Was no one on set. Like
that's
it's
nuts.
And I didn't realize that.
I would love that as an actor.
Right?
How fun.
Like because watching it, there's like several scenes where you see people, they're in this, you know, old house, and you see people walk in and you see the camera shake just a little bit as if it's on the floor. And I'm like, why did they not sandbag that? Or why didn't someone say, hey, let's do that? And it's because there was no one in the room with the camera.
That is,
they set
so
it up and walked
cool.
away.
That must give a really interesting psychological effect too on you, is that you really feel like this is almost found footage.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Oh. It's very voyeuristic.
Yeah.
In that, like, you are just a fly on the wall, and you're watching you're watching this atrocity happen in real time, and you're watching what it does to the kids too.
Oof, like,
I won't give away anything, but like
it.
There's this one great scene with the commandant's two sons, where you realize that like what these boys have been watching their parents do is being transmitted to them on a subconscious level.
Oh.
And now they're doing the same thing. And it's really upsetting.
Damn.
But great,
yeah,
great film.
It's timely. Like, yeah, it just feels very, like, raw.
Well, let's talk about everyone's favorite category, best live-action short. I want to hit other movies that we wish had been nominated this year.
Ooh.
Something that you, I mean, hey, if you want to talk about a snub, if this is your chance to talk about Greta Gerwig's directing.
I'm kidding. Go.
For me, I mentioned it at the top of the episode. Asteroid City, Wes Anderson.
It feels like so long ago, though.
It definitely was. And I think this movie is a revelation. Mm-hmm. I think Wes Anderson, just in general, we take this motherfucker for granted.
Yeah.
He is, like, how dare
he? He got Henry Sugar.
Yeah, he's nominated for a short.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. That's
which,
right. Yeah.
Which I tried to watch it. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch
it. I would like to watch it.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I will.
It's,
yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's what you expect.
I think he is such an interesting and wonderful filmmaker, and just because he has style, we write him off as trite. But this movie, Asteroid City, is weird and it's bold, and it is like it has some fucking risky filmmaking choices. And it is a movie about why Wes Anderson makes Wes Anderson movies. Mm-hmm. It is about how the universe is chaotic and scary, and death is around us at any corner, and so we try to create these neat little boxes to create a sense of meaning for ourselves, to find meaning, and to create comfort for ourselves. My favorite movies of his are the ones that are a little broken. The ones that, because he's such a methodical filmmaker, everything feels so perfect and in its place. And then in a movie like Asteroid City, I also think about The Life Aquatic. There are some scenes where the puzzle doesn't fit together, and you're jarred. You're it's upsetting, and that's where the meaning is. It also, the fact that, I mean, look, we talk about production design, cinematography, score. I thought it was Alexander Desplat's maybe the best of his career. It is stunning. Best original song are the little alien song that they sing.
Yeah.
The fact that he keeps getting the biggest actors in the world to just take a small little role, like Steve Carell as like a nothing role in that, just tells you that his sets must be incredible. People are clamoring to work with him. I think like he had his coming out party for the Oscars with Grand Budapest, and we thought, all right, Wes is here, baby.
Yeah.
And then they said, just kidding. Fuck you. And we're going to look back in like 40 years and be like, I'm sorry, wait, he was only nominated for how many Oscars?
Yeah. We do just take him for granted.
Yeah.
We take him for granted.
We almost have like made him a meme of itself. Like, oh, it's a Wes Anderson guy, or like.
And that is so dismissive to the actual interesting filmmaking he's doing and the filmmaking risks that he is taking. He is playing with different styles. Yes, there are common themes, but then like with all the fucking people being like, look, if AI did Wes Anderson Star Wars, like we reduce him to an aesthetic, forgetting that there actually is true and real emotion there. It just pisses me off. I think Wes Anderson's the greatest. I think anyone who thinks that he is like, oh, he's tried whatever, like you're just trying to be cool, or you're jaded, or fuck you, you're not my friend.
I want to throw in, why wasn't The Iron Claw nominated for anything?
Thank you.
That was phenomenal. The actors in that, the story, the adaption, or like, I guess it would be adaption, right?
Yeah.
Like that, I'm blown away that fucking Zac Efron was not.
He was incredible.
Celebrated in that. Like, all of those guys.
You went home and looked up the real story, right?
Yeah, and they left out another son's death.
It is the most devastating.
I have not seen this movie, by the way.
So. Well, trust me, it's not a surprise. It's not a spoiler.
I'll see it coming. Okay.
When I tell you, it is not a spoiler.
It is about the saddest family that ever existed.
That you'll
and
ever
then you
hear
look
about.
Up, and then you're like,
it's worse.
Oh, actually, their life was way worse.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I also loved.
I was going to say, I think that people couldn't get past it being a Zac Efron movie, and they just didn't want to accept.
They didn't want to accept that he was, like, cooking
he's
in there.
Good, he's cooking.
Yeah.
We only do that to people, like, 30 years later when they're old men, and it's, like, their comeback.
I'm sad Hunger Games didn't get anything. I would have liked to see Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes on something. Give me a music. Give me a set.
Give me something.
Give me something. I loved it.
Costume design.
Anything.
Andy, let's see.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
The fact that Napoleon is nominated for anything.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Is
hilarious.
Oh my God.
You hated it, right?
I hated Napoleon so much. I haven't come that close to walking out of a movie in a long time.
You know what I'm dying to see? I haven't seen El Conde. Do you know about this? It's on Netflix. It is about Augusto Pinochet. It's about Pinochet, the dictator, and he is a vampire who's 250 years old, and he wants to die.
Hmm.
That's fucking weird.
That is a weird. Keep making weird films. Throwing it out to the international feature, the one that I saw that I really liked was Society of the Snow, which is about the, I think, Argentinian soccer team.
Mm.
It's based on a true story. Their plane crashes in the mountains, and they have to try to survive. And my God, was I fucking captivated. And it's one of those things where you're like, this happened for real. So if you get a chance to watch it, it's on Netflix. And I love that they've made a lot of Oscar films, and especially international or foreign language films, accessible through Netflix. So thank you, Netflix, for also including shorts, because shorts fucking matter. Shorts matter.
Shorts matter. Shout out to the Oscar-nominated Nimona, starring the Oscar-nominated by Law of Syllogism, Eugene Li Yang.
Yay!
You're up against fucking Miyazaki and Spider-Man, so good luck, bro. But it's fucking sick.
Wait, that's crazy.
It's a stacked category.
Eugene's movie was nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You didn't realize this?
No.
Yeah.
Best animated feature, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw him going to all the things. I thought he was just going.
No, he is an Oscar nominated. He's the star of an Oscar nominated film.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck me. I'm a bad friend.
Are you about to text him and congratulate him?
La 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 la.
I mean, that would be God. Oh my God. I like.
How have we not talked about this?
It is, you know, he's up against Miyazaki and Spider-Man. Like, it is a stacked ass category, but how exciting would that be? It's like, I don't even want to think about it, because I haven't actually tried to think about it. And Imagine would be a really meaningful movie because of its themes. I'm sorry, a meaningful win because of its themes. And also, like, the insane path that movie had to take to get made. Disney just dumped it.
Oh, man.
Which they fucked up.
The biggest snub that I want to give a shout out to is All of Us Strangers.
Mm.
You guys see that?
I haven't, but I've heard great things.
Oh, it's so good. It's Andrew Scott, the hot priest.
Fleabag.
Who is playing this writer whose parents died when he was 11. But then one day he goes home to revisit his childhood home to kind of get the creative juices flowing, and all of a sudden his parents are there and they're the same age as when they died.
Oh, that's right.
So they're technically younger than he is.
Yeah.
Huh. And so he's now interacting with them as an adult, and at first, you know, it's this wonderful reunion, and then he reveals to them that he's gay.
Yeah.
And his parents don't accept him at first.
Huh.
And they died in the 80s, and so their attitudes, and like, it's so beautiful.
Sounds great.
I sobbed in the movie theater. I was like,
sobbing
to the point where like, I like, when I stopped, I was like kind of dissociated for like a little bit, because it was just like, it was that intense. But
ooh,
I just thought,
yes,
the performances are incredible. Paul Mescal has a supporting role.
He's the dad?
He's not the dad.
He's the boyfriend.
He is the boyfriend. Yeah, Andrew Scott, his love interest. And it is, it's such a beautiful movie and just completely overlooked at the Oscars. But can't recommend it enough.
It is kind of wild when you just asked me to think about snubs, and I just like went back in my letterbox and I was like, God, like, was Dune so many years ago that it didn't get nominated?
2 years ago.
Okay. Did it get nominated?
Yeah, it got nominated.
Okay, good. Like Dune, and I hope the next one's good.
I'm just excited also. Like, we have, I think the last 10 years, the best actor winner. It's like maybe one of the worst runs of any major award show ever.
Yeah.
And whether it's Killian or Paul G, we're about to get a good one.
I don't know. Don't count Bradley out yet.
I'm counting him
There's
out.
There's not a I would be livid. I mean, I think Nolan will win, but Yorgos, he has my... You want to just, like, go, like, who you think, who you want?
Yeah.
We kind of talked about it, but picture who you think, who you want.
Oppenheimer, Poor Things.
Oppenheimer, Zone of Interest.
Yeah, I think I'm Oppenheimer. Honestly, I kind of want Oppenheimer to win. I think it's cool.
Director, I think Oppenheimer. I want Yorgos.
Oppenheimer, I'm going to go Jonathan Glazer.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Kelsey. But again, I would be pretty stoked if Nolan won. I think I'm an Oppie head.
You're an Oppie head.
I know Garrick, if he were here, he would be like fist pumping hard. I just think like Nolan's dope. He really is a gift to the movies.
Okay, we've given him enough time.
Okay, all right.
Actress in a leading role. I think Emma. I want Emma.
I think Lily. I want Emma.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't talk actually much about Emma, and we maybe talked about her in the Easy A episode. It's such an unreal performance. She basically plays like baby to
adult woman, actualized.
Actualized adult woman. It's an insane performance.
Yeah.
But I'm going Lily.
Actor, I'm...
We didn't really talk much about Lily either. I mean, her performance.
We did.
Okay, great.
It's going to be Cillian Murphy. I want Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, same.
Paul. Yep. Let's go, Paul. Yeah. Come on, baby.
Grease King.
Actress, I think it'll be Divine. I want Divine, but I also a little bit want America.
Divine for me.
Divine. Yeah, I honestly also feel boring this year. Like, it feels like a year where there aren't going to be that many surprises.
Yeah.
You never know.
But, I mean, you never know.
Yeah. Actor and supporting, it'll be our DJ. I want Mark Ruffalo.
Same.
I want Goss. I want the Goose. I want it. And then all the fucking think pieces would be like, why did the man from Barbie win? And I'm like, guys, it's a great performance.
Original screenplay, I think it'll be Holdovers, and I want Holdovers.
I think it's going to be Anatomy of a Fall, but I want Holdovers.
I'm with you, Jonathan.
Adapted, I think it's probably going to be Oppenheimer, but I want Poor Things.
I think it's going to be Oppenheimer. I want... that's a tough one. Zone of Interest.
This is a stacked category. American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Zone of Interest.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the five best movies of the year right there. Weirdly, a year in which like the adapted is just bodying original.
Yeah.
But I'm going American Fiction. I think that is the category where they allow something to sneak in. Like, that is where Jordan Peele won his Oscar. It's where Promising Young Woman won this Oscar. American Fiction is fantastic, and I would really love to see Court Jefferson celebrated. And that's also the kind of thing where, like, that award would change his life.
Mm-hmm.
And deservedly so. I think he's one of our most talented, like, up-and-coming writers.
International feature, I think it'll go to Zone of Interest. I wouldn't mind Society of the Snow.
I think it's going to go to Zone of Interest. I want it to go to Zone of Interest, but I do want to give a shout out to Il Capitano. Beautiful movie. Really, I saw a screening of it where the stars and the director were there, and it's such a moving story. We don't have time to get into it, but go see Il Capitano.
Cool. I'd love to see it. I think we can stop there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think we did all the important ones.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can talk about our thoughts on original score for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, but I don't know. I don't know that we we need it. Guys, well, it doesn't matter what you think, because by the time, we got 1 week.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to win? What did you watch this year? What moved you? Like, ultimately, again, these awards are just silly.
It's fun.
It's
all made up.
It's a nice victory lap moment. It's a time to... I actually love that the Oscars are now and not in January.
Yeah.
It like gives me this real chance to reflect on the year. Movies are great.
Love them.
If you're watching the show, you know it. And we love talking about the under-celebrated, but today we're talking about the very celebrated.
Yeah, the underdogs couldn't be us.
But this is, I appreciate great filmmaking. I appreciate great art.
That's
and I'm grateful to
this.
All these movies.
Yeah.
Did we do it? Is that an episode?
I think that's an episode.
Without further ado. Wait, Jonathan, where can people find you?
I'm at jf.kirk on Instagram.
Is your middle name Kirk?
My last name is Kirk.
Oh, yeah. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
So the F you didn't assume was the middle name.
Nope.
You thought, okay. I'm at Corn Diddy on all the things.
Kelsey Dare on all the things.
And I'm just Ken. Anywhere else I'd be.
Let's do it. I love it.